Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful that you are with us again today and listening from wherever you happen to be on the planet. Hello. With me is a returning guest. His name is Mike Baronic. He is the president of the Iowa State Education Agency, ISEA. And we're talking education and business today because that's what we do, is business. Mike, welcome back to the NewsHour. Great to have you here.
Well, thank you for inviting me back to speak with you and the folks who listen to your podcast. I really appreciate it.
This is really remarkable, what we're seeing in the state of Iowa. And I want to just set the tone. What is it that you do, Mike? What, you know, you're a teacher on leave, is that right?
Yes, sir. I've taught third grade in West Des Moines for 32 years. Currently, I'm serving as president of ISEA, and we represent 50,000 contracts in the state of Iowa, where we help folks navigate the process of salary and benefits. Not only are we a union, but we are also very engaged in the process of educating our children here in Iowa, and we represent public schools at every facet.
Yeah, you know, when I moved to Iowa in 1979, that's how old I am, okay? And when I moved to Iowa in 1979, Iowa ranked in the top four or five states in the nation for education. I mean, heck, we even have a test named after us, the Iowa Test of Basic Skills. What's happened?
Well, I think there are a number of circumstances that have affected all of society since 1979. But I can tell you, Michael, that as I travel around the state, I still see high quality educators working in our buildings and some of the best education that is happening around the country. The standardized tests have changed, different expectations, and so there are so many variables into current rankings, but Iowa does rank either number one or two with graduation rates. So, you know,
that's good.
Something we need to be incredibly proud
Absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely. I did not know that, so thank you for that. One of the things, and we talk business on this show, and one of the things I think about is the eligibility of the workforce. And because workforce has changed so much in the 20 or 30 years that I've been here, there is now more skilled-based opportunities for people. How does education and business, what's the correlation there that you think?
Well, one of the things that I talk about quite frequently with clubs such as Rotary or Chambers is that public education is an economic driver for the state of Iowa, and we have long wanted and have used public education as a recruitment tool for the relocation of businesses and population growth. And so it's very discerning when we see that we aren't supporting our public schools with the resources that they need to stay competitive across the country. And so when I talk to business leaders from rural communities particularly, and talk about how important that public school is to that community for their businesses and for population growth, they begin to understand clearly that the decisions that are made here in Des Moines will affect their own businesses back in those communities.
Yeah, and it does. Oftentimes, and I've watched the migration of various school districts becoming now alphabet school districts, the BECA consolidated school, where every one of those BCEA used to have a school, and that school was really part of the fabric of that community. But we're closing so many of them, yes?
Yes, a public school is the foundation for a community. If the families that want to continue to live in that community or move into that community to work for a particular business, they rely on that public school to educate their children. And we have kind of forgotten the importance that our schools play in our communities all across the state, whether it's urban, suburban, or rural.
Recently, there was a bill that passed out of the Iowa legislature to give 3% increase in the funding for public schools. Is that enough?
No, my goodness, no. I mean, what's currently the inflation rate across the country?
Yeah.
And that's the problem that our public schools have been facing for a number of years. The new money that has been allocated by our legislature has not kept up with the rate of inflation. And public schools have the same bills that you and I do. They have to pay their electric bill. They have to pay for the diesel. I was just listening to a radio report this morning, the billions of dollars that the oil companies are making.
Billions.
And it's part because there are prices that are so high, and our districts have to pay for busing our students. And so there are folks who have forgotten that because these expenditures continue to increase, that is putting a tremendous burden on the general funds of our public schools. And 3% is woefully behind what our schools need.
Well, I sit on a city council for one of our metro areas, and we just went through our budget. So we had our first budget reconciliation meeting last night, as a matter of fact. And one of the things that our finance director mentioned, because we saw line items that were going up by 30, 40, 50%, and it's for supplies and stuff to run a community.
Absolutely.
So if those prices are going up by 5, 6, 8, 10, 20% for a community, they got to be the same costs being passed on to school districts.
Absolutely. Of course they are. And what we need to also consider is that we need to be able to offer competitive salaries with private industry. For 7 years, our starting salary here in Iowa for a teacher is $33,500. Just recently, I was driving through a suburban area where an assistant manager for a restaurant chain could earn $50,000.
Wow.
And so if we want to maintain the best and the brightest working in our schools, we have to offer them salaries which will allow them to thrive in any community. Michael, just north of us in Minnesota, they have committed $6 billion to their public education system. Here in Iowa, we've committed $1 billion of tax dollars to be used in private industry, but we only appropriate 3% of new money to our current public schools.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Well, I have seen reports that indicate in the top two tiers of counties in the state of Iowa that we've lost a number of educators as well as administrators to Minnesota because pay and benefits, I mean, it's not that far of a drive.
It's not that far of a drive, and we need to look to the eastern part of the state, folks going over to Illinois.
Sure.
And so we need to remember that we have to remain competitive in the Midwest in order to retain and recruit the quality folks that we want in our schools.
So if we, Mike Baranek, ladies and gentlemen, is my guest. He's the president of the Iowa State Education Association. So getting back to the economic driver for business and education, how critical it is that we give in these public schools great educators doing great work, because we're going to need those people in the future.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And back in 2017, the legislature gutted something called collective bargaining, Chapter 21. Chapter 20. And many unintended consequences occurred because of that. We have developed destination districts in the state because there are districts who are offering competitive wages and benefits, while others can't because of the lack of resources. And so educators are moving from those communities to find contracts which are better for them and their families.
Well, it is a job. I mean, if you are a teacher, that's a job that you get paid for.
Yes. And, you know, there's long been this belief, this fallacy that teachers just work 9 months of the year. However, unfortunately, the process of educating children has become a year-long endeavor where teachers are teaching summer school or they're taking classes. It is not a 9 month job where they go in at 8 o'clock and leave at 4. I know many, many teachers who are spending all weekend either writing up lesson plans or talking to parents, answering emails, working on individual education plans for students. And so educators are finding that when they work 16, 17 hours a day, straight from when school opens to when school ends, that they can go find a different job that offers them a better salary and doesn't have the same expectations past the day at the end.
Well, the pandemic has taught us something, I believe, Mike, and that is that work-life balance matters.
Yes.
And the rigors that our public school teachers have had to go through over the years. I mean, I have volunteered with numerous organizations in fund drives and other benefits to buy school supplies for schools.
Yep.
That doesn't do much. I mean, the teacher is still shelling out cash.
The amount of money that comes out of a teacher's pocket just to support students who need materials or might need something to eat during the day is quite remarkable. It has become evident that everything that is happening in society is in our schoolrooms. And teachers are being expected to do more and more and more. We have children who need mental health services. We don't have enough mental health providers in this state. We've begun to reduce the number of school nurses in our buildings. Educators have to be counselors. They have to be social workers. They have to figure out how to make sure that a student is fed. And so no longer is an educator, and whoever that is in a school district, from the food and nutrition worker to the superintendent, they're having to deal with far more than just teaching reading, writing, and math.
Yeah, and I was going to get to that, but you beat me to it, because the jobs that are expected from an educator are massive.
Massive, absolutely. You said that you moved here in 1979. I graduated in 1976 in public education. All of society was totally different than it is today.
Yeah.
And as a country, as a society, we have now made it the expectation of our public schools to solve all of these problems.
Meanwhile, and I wanted to touch on this for just a moment, the Iowa legislature passed and the governor signed the voucher bill, which takes public money, more than $7,000, I believe it is, and then transfers that to parents who seek to send their child to a private school. If I'm correct, I think there are 42 counties in the state of Iowa of the 99 that have no...
They have no private institution in that area. Over 75% of our schools are in communities across the state that do not have an opportunity for private education. What the average individual needs to recognize is that you and I, Mr. Libby, don't have the option to say that we don't want to pay for the road out in front of our street, that we don't want to provide services from the police department or the fire department. But what has happened by reallocating public dollars for private institutions is that we are showing that we're not supporting our public schools. And every child that lives in this state has the fundamental right to receive a high quality public education, and that means the support of the public tax dollars that you and I provide as the rest of the folks who live in Iowa. We've forgotten that. We also have forgotten that public education has the role of teaching our children how to live in a democratic society and to be critical thinkers and problem solvers. And that's what industry wants. They want individuals who can work collaboratively with other folks and critically think about the solutions of tomorrow. But we can't do that if we're not teaching children the truth of our history. And we can't do that if we don't have the resources that match the needs of all of the children who enter our schools. Private institutions, Mr. Libby, have the ability to pick and choose whom will attend their school. Public education accepts everyone, and we gladly accept everyone. But using public dollars for institutions that have the ability to eliminate certain groups of people from who attend their schools, such as kids who are on IEPs or who may have a different belief in their religious background. That's just not what we should be doing in this state, and that's what the majority of people in Iowa don't believe in.
Mike Baranek is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is the president of ISEA, the Iowa State Education Agency. One of the things that I have witnessed and learned and have spoke about is the fact that this isn't really necessarily a school choice. This is a school a benefit to the private institutions. So if parents take the money and enroll their child in a private school, no matter where it is or what denomination it happens to be, and that student washes out or doesn't meet the requirements of that institution, they can be kicked out, but the school keeps the money.
Yep, absolutely. It's just insane that we have an average per pupil spending of $7,500. And so when a student transfers from a public school to a private school, that money follows them. And as you say, they could find that they need to find placement back in the public schools after a month or two. That money does stay in the private institution.
Yeah, and the public school has to. Yep. Pick that student up. Yep.
And what is hard for some folks to also understand is that in a rural community, if a school district loses 5 or 6 or 7 students to a private institution, that could mean the cutting of programs, the elimination of an educator, certainly not being able to afford to pay the associates that we need. And so even a reduction in a small number, the average person thinks, Red Oak's not going to be hurt by having 5 children attend a private school. They will be. That has drastic consequences on the general fund, and that's not being made up.
Well, it's already evident that we're living on shoestrings. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we just talked about a 3% increase in public funding for public schools, and both you and I know where the inflation rate is. It's well over 6.5%, down from a year ago, and it looks like it's sliding a bit more, but still, that's half of where we need just to meet the inflationary pressures.
Absolutely. And the governor likes to say that they have allocated $1 billion over the past 10 years. And that is true, but that has been in increments of maybe 1% 1 year or 2.5% the next year. It would be interesting to calculate what the inflation rate and the added costs have been over that past 10 years. And I think we would identify that the money that's been appropriated did not provide enough funding for the systems.
Last question for you, Mike. You and I have known each other for some time, and I have always admired the work that you do. 50,000 contracts out there with various individuals and districts and what's the future of education in the state of Iowa? As you look forward, what would you like the public to really understand about where we may be headed if we don't turn the and the reason I ask this, I have interviewed or at least visited with at least a dozen young people between the ages of 25 and 30. Who are moving away from the state of Iowa. They said, this does not reflect who and what I am. And so I don't feel. Nathaniel Blake, who sits on the Urbandale City Council, he was with the AG's office in Iowa, is moving to Colorado to take on a position, one of the best and the brightest in our state.
I think, Mr. Libby, that we're going to continue to see more and more of that. What I want to do is turn that question over to your viewers. When they sit and read the newspaper or they watch television and they see the attacks happening at our school boards, the conversations that are happening at the State House, the true guided direction of diminishing the role of public education and demoralizing our educators by calling us sinister, what do your listeners think? Where do they think public education will be? As I said in the very beginning, public education has been one of the major economic drivers of the state, particularly for recruitment. But when folks see what we're doing and saying and the way we're treating our educators, they really begin to question whether they want to stay here. we're having a hard time recruiting individuals into our classrooms, going through teacher prep programs. The last thing we're going to do is encourage any reduction in our licensure process. We have to maintain a strong stance on that. However, we have positions all across the state that have remained unfilled all year long. Special education is one of those areas which demands are just outweighing the amount of time that folks have to do. And so if we can't recruit people into our classrooms, that means that a district will either have to consolidate, or they'll have to think about reducing programming, or they'll have to explore the options of closing completely. What does that mean, Mr. Libby, for that community today? And what does that mean for Iowa tomorrow? I say it has drastic consequences. Lots and lots of folks that I know are asking, where is this state going and what are we doing?
Mike Baranek, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest. Mike, thank you so much for sitting down with me.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Once again, that is the voice of Mike Baranek, who is the president of the Iowa State Education Association. So grateful that he stopped by so we could have this discussion. And yes, we will post a link to ISEA on the radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.